And now, an Envision Financial podcast with Luke Smith on Canberra's 2CC.
It's time to talk finance with Luke Smith from Envision Financial. Luke, good afternoon and welcome to the studio. Right?
Hey, Big Boris has got the numbers.
He's doing well, isn't he? The mophead baboon, he's managed to fool them all.
Well, you know, it's awfully warm outside.
I said, yes. I said to somebody yesterday, you know, anybody with any sense can see that Donald Trump is a con man, but no, they all vote for him anyway.
Well, I think.
But the funny thing is, you know, his unorthodox tactics and methods seem to be working for him. So that's politics, isn't it?
I think with the stalemate that a lot of countries have sort of dealt with over the last few years and the last few leaders, you know, rightfully or wrongly, if you don't have the numbers or the majority, you sort of run into a lot of brick walls.
Yeah. So. And speaking of Trump, it does appear today that he has, or his government has reached some sort of agreement in principle with China on the trade deal. So we're just waiting on details for that. But again, it looks like he may have pulled it off.
Look, it's one of those things. I'm sure an overpriced equity market will now be even more overpriced.
Yeah.
And it'll be even harder to buy new assets for people. So, yeah.
Okay.
Thanks, Trumpy.
Well, today, according to the advertisements, we're talking about automation and how it can help with your investing. But we need to start from an explanation of what we mean when we're talking about automation. We're not talking about a machine that does it for you.
No,
we're not
exactly.
Talking about a computer that does it for you. We're talking about automating your behavior. In other words, establishing certain regular investing habits.
Yeah, look, exactly. And in hindsight, you know, when you're trying to come up with something that sounds appealing, automation's not one of those words I'll be using again in the future.
Okay.
No, but what I was trying to refer to there was we came off the back of talking about the importance of a budget and how you can use them. I was then trying to extrapolate and expand on, you know, how we then go about, okay, we've sat down, we've got our budget, we've worked out what we're going to do. Now, how can we start to bring that to life and how can we automate some of the decisions that we make in relation to our options, our behaviours, and obviously trying to attain a specific outcome.
Yeah, it really makes life a whole lot easier if you set a number of specific rules and parameters that you just follow without having to agonise over every decision. And some of those simple examples of those would be, for example, when we talked about budgeting, we talked about putting aside a certain amount for your savings every pay packet income, every fortnight or month or whatever it might be. So a step on from that is then to take that money at a regular on a regular basis and invest it into whether it's shares or other investments.
Correct.
Every month without fail.
Yeah, look, exactly. And I think when people sit down and come up with, all right, what are we working with? The next question then we tend to get is, okay, well, what do I do and how do I do it? And I guess that's where the automation sort of reference comes in, because you could go and buy a share and you could reinvest the dividends through what they call a dividend reinvestment plan, where instead of taking the cash dividend, you then get additional units in the share that you've bought. So that's one option for doing that. The second way of doing it would be to buy a managed fund, which is a collection of assets in a specific area. So you'd have to jump back a couple of shows and, I guess, understand your risk profile when you're thinking about what you're going to buy. Because as we say in the office regularly, if you're driving at 100 and you go and buy something that's driving at 180, you may get a very different outcome.
Yeah.
And if you hit a tree, there may be a very different outcome again.
Exactly.
So understanding your risk profile and knowing what you're going to buy, taking into account your time frames and the parameters that you've put on yourself, you know, a managed fund is a good way to get a very broad exposure to a specific area. And then again, either have the dividends reinvested in more units in the fund, and also then have the savings plan that you've set up through your budget of 100 a month, 200 a month, 300 a month, then buy additional units in that investment. Now, that action is called dollar cost averaging, where you buy an initial exposure and you might throw $1,000 in to start, and then you say, okay, as part of my broader budget, I can save $500 a month. $200 a month might go into that specific investment, and then you may then diversify into other areas or save into cash or do whatever you need to do to achieve your goals. But being able to buy on regular intervals without thinking about it helps you to try and limit positive and negative changes in the market, so that you're, as the name says, averaging in, or dollar cost averaging into the investment over time. Because trying to pick the bottom, the top and anywhere else for smaller regular payments really doesn't represent a lot of value. It's then again, as we've said, in the behaviour and the consistency of that behaviour that lets you average into something over the longer term.
So dollar cost averaging is simply that thing where you put in a certain amount every month, or could be any time period, but let's say month for sake of argument. It's the same amount of dollars every month, regardless of what the price of the investment might be. Say it's a share. The share price might be $3 this month. It might be $3.30 the next month. Might be $2.70 the month after that. But on average, you're paying about $3.
Look, exactly right. And I think in times of fully priced markets, it's a dollar cost averaging is a good strategy to be able to maintain a partial exposure. And what I mean by that is, You may be reluctant to go out and throw all of your money in the US market at the moment, given it's trading at record highs, but you also don't want to miss out on it continuing to trade at, you know, amazing levels, whether they're justified or not. So, for example, you might say, I've got $20,000 to buy a specific investment in that sector. I might place 10 into the market, and then I might dollar cost average that 10 in over 12 months and break it up into regular intervals, so that if we see what we saw this time last year, Trumpy shoots out a tweet and says, hey, we're going to have this sort of policy change, and the market comes off 10 or 15%, then you're averaging in over those following months to then get your average entry price down, and you're then taking advantage of buying at times of weakness, not just throwing all of your powder at the investment at record levels.
So over time, what happens is that the dollar cost averaging does something very important, and that is it smooths out the volatility in the price.
Yeah, look, exactly right. Again, it's a very good way to hedge your bets if you don't think that the market's, you know, at very, very cheap levels, which our market hasn't been for quite a while in certain areas, and the same could be said for the US market.
Yeah.
So it's a very good way of, again, automating behaviour, setting something up, putting it in place, putting an end date on it, because generally you can set that. You also have the ability to buy regular exposures into something like an ETF or an exchange-traded fund, which is people can think about an ETF like a cost-effective managed fund.
Yes.
You know, they're very cheap. They're very good ways to get an exposure to specific areas of a market, and you can be quite specific at the moment with the broadened sort of environment that provides in relation to investment. And you could say, right, once a quarter I'm going to invest X. Now, depending on what you use may depend on the mechanics of how it's done. You know, a managed fund may sweep your bank account and do that for you. You may need to have a broker and say, okay, well, once a quarter I want this much spent on these ETFs, and keep, again, averaging in. But the premise of this automation is you don't have to think about it. You may not have to do it. It's good, consistent, reoccurring behaviour, which over time,
And these days with internet banking and internet share accounts and so forth, you can literally automate it by setting up a regular payment that you don't even have to click on the button every month. It just does it by itself.
Yep.
The other thing to say about dollar cost averaging is that when you think about it, it is the exact opposite of what's known as timing the market. When you're trying to pick the low point, buy at the low point, and then that's when you have to spend all your time studying and thinking about it and trying to work out when the price is at its lowest point and trying to predict what the price is going to do next. Really, dollar cost averaging is a lot less work.
Yeah, look, and again, it's one of those things as somebody that's exposed to the market at a broader level, I'd never sit there and say that you're going to ever pick the absolute bottom, because, you know, you can have transactions go missing in your ledgers, and all of a sudden there's an impact on your share price. So, you know, there are these X factors that impact the valuations of assets outside of broad fundamentals that nobody could really see coming or react to in a timely manner. So it's
And when you're trying to pick the top or the bottom of a price swing, nobody's that good.
No, and that's it. And that's why I say, if you want to hedge your bets, dollar cost averaging is a very good way to be prudent, because there's nothing more frustrating than rolling all your dice and the price comes off and you go, oh, I wish I could have bought some more. So
yeah, and of course, it is actually a really good way to start investing. If you've never really been an investor before, you've suddenly seen the light and thought, you know what, I really need to take command of my financial situation. What I'm going to do is I'm going to make a budget. I'm going to set aside 10 or 20% of my income every month to save, and then I'm going to invest those savings either into the share market or a managed fund or whatever the case might be. Yep. This is a great way to get started.
Yeah, look, it is. And I think that's really been fueled the use of ETFs because they are very, very cost effective. And as the retail consumer has become better educated in relation to their investment options, we've seen more and more use, and we've seen huge inflows into that sector over time, and it will continue to evolve and become more and more specific. So you can really tailor, you know, the ETF market and the tools that you want to use depending on your individual risk profile and your outcome and your objectives. It really is something now where your average, you know, beginner investor can get access to some really, really good structures that won't disadvantage them when they're compared to that of a wholesale or experienced investor out there in the market.
So what would you say people should consider when looking to start investing for the first time?
Yeah, look, I think obviously have a time frame. You know, to say this is forever is very, very difficult because at the moment forever's like, you know, just getting a Friday. So, you know, I'd have a time frame and try and set some parameters around your expectations. Start small and build it up. I find it's a lot easier to walk and then run than to commit into something with large capital items or large capital amounts and then have to back things out. So I'd sort of build up your confidence and your familiarity with what you're doing, and then if you can save a little bit more, okay, just tweak it, but you don't have to jump in sort of boots and all straight off the bat. Have a goal and stick to it. You know, if you're gonna try and save X amount of money, then, you know, as we said last week when we were talking about budgeting, if something pops up and throws you off course, stick with it. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater and try and make sure you see your goal through, because, you know, that'll give you the motivation to continue to do other things and you'll see the benefit of compounding and good diligent behaviour. And again, build it into a solid budget. Make sure you're reviewing your budget. You know, so people should think about, well, what's spare and where's their money going? And that ties in quite nicely with last week's show that was really, you know, budgeting isn't a dirty word. It's actually something that when you actually get to the end of the road, you go, wow, that was really good. And if I hadn't have started, I'd have never got here.
So, think about budgeting. You made the point last week that people think of budgeting the same way they do about dieting, and they just hate the idea of it. Mm. It's all too hard. It's too unpleasant. But the thing is, as you say, budget is not a dirty word. The fact is, if you do it well, it actually makes your life easier.
Well, you know, it's sacrifice or regret. You choose.
Yes.
You know, I think that's going to go up on the wall next year in the office.
Sacrifice or regret.
You choose. Because I think it's that's what most people are faced with.
Yeah.
I don't really want to do this. And then they come and see me at 55 and go, oh, I wish I'd done that 15 years ago.
Mm.
You know, it's you've got to have some give and take at any stage of your working life, both, you know, while you're gainfully employed and also when you're retired.
Absolutely.
So it's about finding that happy balance.
We're talking about automating your investing behaviour. We don't necessarily mean setting up a machine to do it for you. We're talking about establishing regular investing habits. Mm. So what are some strategy options that people should consider?
Yeah, look, I think having a fixed amount of net income is good. You know, 10 or 20% of net income is a good starting point, and then committing it to, you know, the transaction that you're going to repeat over and over. You know, that could be half into an investment, a fund or a share, and half into a bank account or something else. That's completely fine. I think people should review their budget regularly, because it's going to take some time, a bit like going to the gym for the first time. You're not sure what you're going to lift where in what exercise, and it takes a bit of time and a few sessions to sort of get used to what you can lift.
Yeah, what muscle am I going to strain today?
Yep. Yeah, correct. I think so, you know, reviewing what you're doing and keeping an eye on it's very important. Use some software. You know, there's some very good free software out there now that you can tie things to on the iPhone. You know, there's Money Soft and there's Money Brilliant, and there's some of these others that will help you track your budget and where you're putting things into different investments. There's also other things out there that will round up transactions and throw it into an investment option. So if you do go grocery shopping and spend $19.90, it'll roll it up to 20 and then spit it into, you know, the investment of your choice. So things are starting to get pretty funky and pretty sort of selective out there at the moment. So it's an evolving market in relation to technology.
You know, I've got a pocket full of 5-cent pieces. If you can find a solution for that, I mean, really. I saved them all up in a jar once, and when the jar was full, it was like $50.
Exactly.
Then you have to go to the bank, and the bank will say, oh, you can't get that change to a note here unless you're a customer. You know, but if we can automatically invest all our 5-cent pieces, we'd all be a lot better off.
Well, I assume we'll just end up with notes and no coins. So. Yeah,
exactly. Won't be long.
Diversify your assets. Obviously, understand your investment strategy and understand your asset allocation. And what I mean by that is understand what you're buying and its risk profile so that you know that it's right for you, and review it. Because strategically, you may become more and more comfortable with different levels of risk, and you could then amend future investments in line with your change in attitude. So I think that's really important. And obviously, to maximise the benefit of long-term investments, reinvest the distributions, and then obviously reinvest in the contributions that you commit to the portfolio, so that you're sort of doubling down on the income that's generated by the things that you've bought, reinvest those units, and then obviously then look to try and have that consistent compounding benefit of a regular contribution to your investment, rather than an ad hoc thing that you have to remember to do. That brings us back to the automation comment about if it's out of sight, it's out of mind, then it's going to happen anyway, and you learn to live on the money that's left in the account.
And that's the way to do it. And, of course, if you can automate as much of that behaviour as possible, there's less for you to worry about, yep. less fretting, yep. less decision-making to keep you awake at night, and set and forget is, I guess, the operative phrase there, isn't it?
Yeah, and if the market comes off and you forget to buy something, you don't have to beat yourself up, because it's taking advantage of positive and negative movements. And as we said earlier, you're getting the benefit of when and how things are invested over the longer term, so that you can average your entry price from the collection.
So where can we get more information?
Yeah, so look, again, it's one of those things, www.envisionfinancial.com.au. Obviously, you can go to the website. We've got some information in the Knowledge Centre in relation to these sorts of things, and there's animated videos on dollar cost averaging and things of that nature. Obviously, we've got the podcast for those that can't see it on YouTube, and the Strategy Stacker, Luke Talks Money. Envision Financial Canberra on YouTube. Obviously, we've got the shows there for you want to pause it and just take a break and write some notes down, that's great. And obviously come in and have a cup of tea. This year's looked pretty much dusted. But obviously, you know, new financial year or new calendar year, new financial goals. Come in, sit down, have a chat, line some up, and we can try and make sure that going forwards, you know, the behaviours are in place. And it's something that people can start with. Doesn't have to be big. Big misconception is, oh, I need heaps to do something. Mm. No, not necessarily. You just need some commitment, some good behaviour, and generally a little bit of direction.
So. Start small, and good habits will take you a long way.
Correct.
And just very quickly before we go, you've been so flat out, you've been so busy. Every Friday you come in here and you say, gosh, I'm so busy. I've got meeting after meeting after meeting. You need more help. You need an outsider.
That's right. Yeah, we are. We're looking for a paraplanner. So if there's paraplanners out there that are looking for a change, something fresh, and has some experience using the relevant softwares that are in the industry at the moment, you want to come and have a chat and a cup of coffee over an opportunity, we'd love to see what's out there and have somebody join the team and help the girls and, you know, just keep things moving in the right direction for everybody. So that'd be awesome.
Fantastic. Luke, thanks very much. I will not be here next Friday, so
no.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
And you'll be back next Friday, though. Yeah, so you'll be here to hand out some more good advice next Friday afternoon, even though you'll have to do it without me. But that's
correct.
All right.
With a tear in my eye.
Thanks very much.